Father, we're so thankful to be here this morning for all your blessings, all that you're doing. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would have free reign in every heart. Lord, that our lives would be exposed this morning in every way, that you'd reveal to us things that we've been hiding, things that we've not confessed. Father, have your way now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So last week, I know not everybody was here, but I talked about dying beautifully, and so to speak, with the leaves, and how beautiful a leaf looks when it's dying, and how beautiful a person is that when they're dying to themselves, when they're dying to their flesh, and becoming more like Jesus. And when I was thinking about this week, I had a couple different sermons in mind, and then Friday afternoon, about 1 o'clock, I felt like the Lord started speaking to me about a total different topic than what I thought I was going to preach about. And, you know, one of the greatest things that we can have is self-awareness. Has any of you ever had food stuck in your teeth and like you caught it in the bathroom and you're like, whew, I'm glad I seen that and got it out, you know, but. Yeah, that's a good thing. But any of you ever been at a party or group or something and you've talked to everybody and then you go to the bathroom and then you've seen something stuck in your teeth and you're like, oh, I'm such an idiot. Why didn't anybody tell me I had that in my teeth? And, you know, it's nice. It'd be nice if someone tapped you on the shoulder or give you a little, you know, have you ever been talking to anybody and they'll do this and you're thinking, okay, are they warning me I need to wipe my nose? Are they telling me something's there? Am I the only one that does that, trying to pick up on a signal from someone? Or is it just them wiping their own nose, you know? But self-awareness is a good thing, okay? On the outward, it's a real good thing because, you know, if you got something on your face or whatever, you want someone to tell you, you want to take care of it. But the self-awareness inwardly, too, I think is a great gift when you can see your shortfalls, when you can see your weaknesses, when you can see areas that you need to avoid, when you can understand that, I need to watch out. I need to be careful. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you unless, of course, you fail the test? And so, it's important for us to examine ourselves often, and if you guys, I don't know if you've caught it or not, but I preach on it a lot as far as examining ourselves and checking ourselves. Why do I preach on it so much? Because I think many of us live a life with blinders, and we don't really see ourselves. We don't really see how other people perceive us, and maybe the image that we're, or the facial expressions or the rudeness or the things that we're putting off to others. John 8:31 says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free this morning in so many areas of our lives. But see what they answered in verse 33. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Y'all, this ain't even the sermon. This is the appetizer. This is the beginning. Because where I want you to get is these Jews here, they said, how can you say that we'll be set free? We've never even been a slave to anyone. And what does Jesus say? Anyone who sins is a slave to sin. Y'all, I think for many of us, the self-awareness that we're just like the Jews. Pete, you're preaching to somebody else this morning. You're talking to this person, or you'll hear a good sermon, and you'll think of your coworker. You'll think of your mom. You'll think of your dad. You'll think of your brother or sister. You'll think of your spouse. You'll think of someone else. Boy, they sure could use that sermon, but I'm good. Okay, I'm okay, but boy, I wish so-and-so would hear that. Self-awareness. Now we're going to go to John 13:34. John 13:34, it says, okay, and this is, that was the intro. Here we're getting to the heart of the sermon, okay? This is what I really want you guys to get. And to be honest with you, God just spoke to me personally, because as He was giving me this sermon on Friday, I said, Lord, that's not, most every sermon I preach is, it's me. It's about me and everything else. But this sermon, today, I was like, this ain't about me, Lord. Are you sure this is what I'm supposed to preach? He just hit me. Self-awareness, Pete. Maybe you need this more than you think. John 13:34. It says, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciple if you love one another. So how are we doing there, church? With loving one another. I mean, really, think about it. Self-awareness this morning. How are you doing at loving those around you? How are you doing at loving the person here sitting next to you in the pew? How are you loving the person sitting in the back of the church or sitting in the front of the church? How are you doing? It says that they will know you by the love that you have for one another. That's the love that you have for one another. You will be known by that. Church, for us to have this kind of love, the only way that it can come is us to be so full of the Holy Spirit. To allow the Holy Spirit to give us that kind of love for each other. The kind of love that we deserve. That we deserve to give to those around us because of the love that's been given to us. And I think the only way that you can talk about love is to really look at what it's defined as in 1 Corinthians 13. These are all familiar texts, and I don't want you to just block me out, but you know, you guys love your cars, you love your house, you might love your, you know, you love football or whatever, but then with the way that we love football, is that the same way that we love our family? Is that the same way we love people at church? Is that the same way that we love our coworkers? You know, love is such a broad word, and we use it for everything. And so let's look at what love really is. And this, keep in mind, y'all don't go to sleep. I know your bellies are growling, and I'm going to hurry through this because I'm hungry too, okay? It's already lunchtime. And but I want you to think about, is this how you are known? Don't think about anybody else. This is for you this morning. Is this how you are known? 1 Corinthians 13. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Every time I read that verse, I always think, and I know not everybody in here watches Andy and Mayberry, but I always think of Barney from Andy and Mayberry, and they've got the band going on a trip, and Barney gets those cymbals in. Do you guys, anybody remember that episode? And what's Barney do? He's just clanging those stupid cymbals all over the place, and he clangs them next to Andy's head, and Andy about come unglued on Barney because they're so annoying. And I think of, that's what I always think of when I read those verses, of that clanging cymbal and the annoyance of it. Verse 2, if I have the gifts of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. That's an amazing faith right there. Faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. You know, this morning in Sunday school, we're talking about works and everything else. And you can work and work and work yourself to death. But if you have not love, you are nothing. So here, verse 4. This should be your characteristic and my characteristic, okay? Not anybody else. Yourself. Self-awareness this morning. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not, it does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. So, have we made it through this first section? Everybody got a check mark next to their name? You meet those categories. You're patient. You're kind. You're not envious. You're not boastful. You're not proud. Yeah, everybody got a good check mark there, right? We're all good. It is not rude. Coming down the interstate last night, there was this car right on me. And I don't know if he had his bright lights on or if it's just these new lights, but he was blinding me, and I was having to sit like this in my seat. And I was waiting for him to pass me. I was waiting for him to pass me. He didn't pass me. Finally, I just hit my brakes. Crystal looked at me, "What are you doing?" I said, "This guy won't get off my rear end." She said, "Don't get angry." Finally, the guy passed me. So you know what I did? Oh, I can be terrible sometimes, y'all. And I so bad wanted to flip on my bright lights and ride their tail end, but I didn't. But I told Crystal, I said, you know, I think a lot of times people are driving that way and they don't even realize it. They don't even realize that they're bright lighting you. They don't even realize that they're tailgating you. Because I know I've caught myself doing it to people and not really doing it on purpose, just driving so fast, you know. But it's rude. It's rude to do that. And so that shouldn't be a characteristic of me. It shouldn't be a characteristic of you. There's so many other things with rude. It is not self-seeking. You know, people with motives all the time to benefit them. You can't do anything nice. You can't do anything kind. You can't do anything without wanting to get paid back in some way. Self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. You know, some of us have a filing cabinet a mile tall in our head of all the times that people's hurt us, of all the things that people's done wrong to us. And we ever need that, we'll pull it out and go back. Yeah, I remember. But love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. So that should be us. You will be known by the love that you have for others, for each other. And with that, all those characteristics describe your life this morning. Self-awareness, self-examinations, not looking at Pete, not looking at whoever's sitting next to you, but how are you doing in those categories? I mean, because in reality, when we stand before the Lord someday, you're not going to be able to say, well, Pete did this to me, or my mom did this, or my husband did this. It all boils down to how are you living? I just want to look at just one of these for my self-awareness. And the not easily angered, okay? This is really not easily angered because it's something that I struggle with. I can go from a good mood to a bad mood just like that, and I can get so angry sometimes. And James 1:19 says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." You know, we were talking about our kids last night, and Hayden's birthday was Friday, and so we was just remembering back to when they were little and everything, and Madeline, we were laughing about her personality and the way that she's always been, and up and down, and you know when she's upset and dramatic and everything. But Hayden, how he's just always somber. He's always been that way. Ever since he was little, he was somber. But there was one time we were up at some friend's house swimming, and another little boy kept coming and shoving Hayden from the back and knocking him into the pool. And finally, I didn't even realize it was my son. All the adults are over there visiting, and we hear, "Aah!" and screaming bloody murder and fist doubled up.
And Haynes like, stop it!
He was like 5 years old. And this little rage monster comes out of him. He's ready to punch this other little kid and just let him have it. And honestly, when I heard it, I thought, that's not my kid. So I'm just looking over thinking, whose kid is that? And it's like, what? Where'd that come from? You know? Y'all, sometimes we hide it, don't we? And Hayden, you know, he's pretty even killed, but sometimes that anger wells up. I've seen it a few times in him. And with me, it's that same way. Sometimes I can hide it. But then all at once, because I've hidden it for so long, it just explodes out. My kids before have said, Dad, you get mad so quick. And it's like, no, y'all don't realize how much I've been holding back. It's just built and built and built. And then I explode. And then I act like an idiot. Okay? But we shouldn't allow that anger to fester inside of us and stew there, because that's not a characteristic of love. And when you look at today, it says we're slow to anger, but you look around and what's happening? Everybody's mad about something. Everybody's offended about something. The whole world's in an uproar about something. And why is everybody so mad? Why is everybody so upset? Why is everybody so angry? 2 Timothy 3:1-5 says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. That's saying that what the end times are going to look like. You look around, what do you think? I mean, does that not describe much of our culture now? But what's sad is, how many people that come to church every Sunday would that even describe them? Ungrateful? Unholy, abusive, disobedient, lovers of money, lovers of themselves, of pleasure. That's what it says is going to be happening in the last days. But we're supposed to be known by the love that we have for each other. And how many of us, I could preach a whole nother sermon right here, but I don't want to get into it. But having a form of godliness but denying its power. Y'all, that's so much of the church today. We come in here and we put on our happy faces and our nice outfits and we smile, but on the inside we have no love. We have no care. We're worried about ourselves. We're worried about our problems, our desires, our wants. There's no selflessness in us. And when I look at this in the last days and the unforgiving and the easily angered, And without love, and I'm looking at that and I think it's a lack of love is why we're so unforgiving. It's a lack of love is why we're so unforgiving. You don't think so? Okay, if a common acquaintance offends you and makes you mad, you're probably going to hold it against them, right? And then a few weeks later, they may say something just not even meaning to offend you, but what happens? Oh, they meant this, and they've offended, and they've hurt my feelings, or they meant that, and when they didn't invite me, or they didn't include me, or they didn't do this, and we're so easily offended. But let's take someone that you really love a lot, a mom or dad, and they've said something to hurt your feelings. They've done something. Are you going to hold it against them, or do you usually let it go? Well, you might be one of those that file it back, but usually you're going to let it go. It's not going to break the relationship. Is this making sense at all this morning? People that you really love, you can usually forgive a lot easier than someone that you don't love. Not in every case, but a lot of times. And so I think our lack of love contributes to the easily angered, contributes to being unforgiving. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. And then we're going to be in Matthew 18 in just a minute. But Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, it says, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Now, this is where I feel like the Lord wanted me to talk about this morning. And I don't really know why. Like I said, maybe I need some self-awareness this morning. Maybe there's something in me that I don't even realize is there. But, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Colossians 3:13 says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." We're easily angered, we're offended, we're self-seeking, we have not love for one another, and we're walking around with all this angerness, with all this bitterness, with all this unforgiveness in our heart. Why? Why? When we're supposed to have the characteristics of love in our life, being children of God, yet we're so unforgiving, we harbor bitterness. And here it says that if you forgive, you will be forgiven. And forgive just as the Lord has forgiven you. Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verses 21. And I think that this is the biggest part right here. "And Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven?' Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times.'" You know, this brings me a lot of comfort in my personal life, because how many times have I failed and Jesus has forgiven me? You know, and I think if the Lord has asked me to forgive my brother 77 times, that surely the Lord will forgive me. But let's read on. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that they had be sold to repay the debt." When I was looking this up, and 10,000 talents, and I don't know how accurate this is just Google, okay? But it said that if it was 10,000 talents in gold, in today's economy, it would be $11.9 billion. And if it was 10,000 talents in silver, it would be $161 million. So either way, it's a whole lot of money. That's what this man owed. And he says, okay, so your wife and your children and everything you have is going to be sold to cover this debt. Verse 26, "The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go." I don't know how many of y'all owe $161 billion. But how awesome would that be if your debt was just canceled and he let him go? "But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. When you look at this, do you know how much that was? So we go from either 11.9 billion, 161 million is what he was just forgiven of, one of those, to 100 denarii is about $8,700. It's still a lot of money, but in comparison, it's hardly anything. He grabbed him, let me go back, verse 28. "But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay back the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went out and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in, you wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brothers from your heart. Bitterness, resentment. Do we really understand all that God has forgiven us of? You know, I'm easily angered, and I shouldn't be. I'm getting better, but I'm not where I should be. And sometimes, you know, I think the anger is maybe because I'm harboring something towards someone. Because I haven't forgiven them. But then there's other things in my life and there's other people in my life and I find it so freeing and so easy to forgive them. And I think that most of that is because I realize how much my Heavenly Father has forgiven me of. And how undeserving I am. And so what I want to ask y'all this morning, are you mad at someone? And if you are, why? And why not let it go? You know, I don't want this fake, oh, everything's okay this morning. You know in your heart if everything's not okay. If a person comes in the room and you begin to act different, or you won't talk to someone, or you won't smile at someone, or you avoid them, that's not for you. Haven't forgiven them. There's still something in your heart. There's still something there. And I wonder how many of us, maybe because we don't forgive people because we're so self-righteous and feel like we're so deserving and we don't understand how much our Heavenly Father has forgiven us of. Does this make sense to anybody this morning? Do you realize how much God has forgiven you this morning? So why is it so hard to forgive those around us? Why is it so hard to let go of stuff? Examine yourself this morning. Is there bitterness and unforgiveness in you? I've shared with y'all before, there's people in my life and I forget about them. And I don't realize that there's even anything there till I see them. And then all at once, something stirs. I don't like that person. Why don't I like that person? They did this or they did that. If I'm a child of God and I'm to be known by my love, then that means that person needs love. And that I don't need to be harboring this resentment and this anger and treating them different. And I think some of us have just lost sight of how lost we are. Mark 11:25 says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Are you holding on to something this morning? It's time to let it go. We're about out of time. But I would ask that you go home maybe and read Romans 12:9. And just read Romans 12:9-21. And it talks about love and how we should be loving. But it also talks about let God handle it. Maybe some of you have went through something terrible this morning, something that's so traumatic, and you say, Pete, how could I ever forgive that person? I'm not trying to make light of it at all, you know, but maybe this morning is where you need to lay it at Jesus' feet. And say, Father, I forgive them because you've forgiven me of so much. Forgive me. And Father, I turn this over to you because in Romans 12:9, it says, leave room for God's wrath. I think you got to be careful with that, though, because if you're going, ha ha, get him, God, that's not forgiveness. But leave room for God to take care of it, God to handle them. But we need to let some stuff go. And I feel like that we, as a church body, until we begin to live out 1 Corinthians love to one another, we're going to be stuck. We're not going to move any further till we can love those that are unlovable, till we can show forgiveness and mercy, to be quick to forgive. You know what? I may have said something to hurt your feelings. I may have said something to offend you. Do you think I did it on purpose? If I did, I'm sorry, and I promise I didn't do it on purpose. And you know what? Some of y'all said stuff to hurt my feelings. I'll share this story, and I'm not going to name any names, but I was at a ball game in the last month. I might have already told y'all this. I'm getting old, and I repeat myself a lot. I was at a ball game, and I saw a lady that I hadn't seen in some times, and we're having this wonderful conversation. She comes up and hugs me and tells me how much she misses seeing me and everything, and we have this wonderful conversation, and she's about to go sit down, and then you know what she does? She offends me. You know why? Because she said something about y'all. And my ears got red, and I bit my tongue, and I wanted to let her have it. How dare you talk about our church? But you know what? Forgive her. And I let it go. Because maybe she didn't mean it the way that it came out. And you know what? I've said stuff before and it came out the wrong way, and I've offended people and hurt their feelings. So let it go. People say stuff to you, let it go, because maybe you're going to need that forgiveness next time from them. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word. And I pray that each and every one of us right now, that your Holy Spirit would be examining our hearts. And Father, if there's any unforgiveness found in us, Lord, that right now that we would be confessing it as sin, that we'd be laying it at your feet, that we'd be praying through it and letting it go. Father, help us to quit being so sensitive, and help us to begin to show love, the kind of biblical love that you want us to have. Father, that I know only comes from knowing you and having that personal relationship with you, Father. May we be slow to anger and quick to forgive. Father, I understand that there's some here this morning, and that there's some deep-rooted bitterness. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just speak to them, that they may be able to let it go. Father, there's some this morning that maybe we're like the Jews and we say, this didn't really pertain to me this morning. I don't hold anything against anyone. I'm not a slave. Father, if there is anything in us, may you speak it to our hearts. May you speak it to our minds right now. Lord, have your way with every heart in here. And we forgive just as we've been forgiven. In Jesus' mighty name. Sometimes I really think I got it all together. And I think I can forgive people just like that. And I do think I'm pretty good at it. People that's hurt me or wronged me or whatever, but you know, there's one person that I have a hard time forgiving, and that's myself. You know, I beat myself up, and I you know, even Sundays after I go home, and I just beat myself up and past sins, and I beat myself up. And you know, and maybe if you're experiencing that this morning, you take all these verses that we just read and you look at how it talks about how our Heavenly Father forgives us. And how much that that man was forgiven with the millions or billions of dollars in debt, whatever it was, however it translates. And he was forgiven. Jesus died for your sins and my sins. And sometimes the hardest forgiveness to accept is the forgiveness that we've been given from our Heavenly Father. And so if you're struggling with that this morning, I want to encourage you. Lay it down at the altar. Repent, turn from it, and begin to follow Jesus. And let the past be the past. Understand that when you become part of the family, that He says you're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And lay down that old self. And let's get full of the love of Jesus Christ. Y'all have a blessed afternoon. I think we're going to have Bible study tonight. We're in 2 Timothy. And so we'll see you tonight at 6:30.